On April 17, 1961, John Kennedy had been president for 3 days short of 3 months when the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba took place. It was a fiasco, total failure, and the blame swirled. Most of it, if not all of it, fell upon President Kennedy. He hadn't planned it. He hadn't overseen the preparation. He hadn't made any decision on the size or the scope or in U.S. involvement. But he did one thing. He said, go. The talking heads, the pundits of the day, decided that his presidency was over. He was a failed president because this was the worst. Just like in the immediacy of any event, we look at things as the best, the worst, the most, the least. We have a tendency not to remember back, not to think back, not to put things in perspective. Too many young people today have the attitude as what happened before me doesn't affect me, and I really don't care. I don't need to know anything that happened before me, only what happened in my lifetime. I don't know, I don't care, it doesn't affect me, and I don't want to be bothered with it. We look at the immediate. We live by the clock. We get up by the clock. We go to work or to school by the clock. We eat by the clock. And that's a criticism my wife has labeled at me for years. I can have a snack at any time, but at certain points in the day, it's mealtime. Ready? Let's eat. We go to bed by the clock. We survive. We live by that clock. Let's take a memory back. Think back to Christmas when we were children. I don't mean the teens. I mean kids. How long was Christmas Eve? Christmas will never get here. I can't wait for Christmas. Now think back in our lifetime now, for most of us. At night, we just got rid of Christmas, and we're looking at it again. It comes by so quick. God does not look at time the way we do. As Kevin read this morning, in the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. It just means that time doesn't mean anything to God. It's irrelevant. In the first chapter of Genesis, he talks about, we're told, how God created this and he created that, and the evening and the day were the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and God rested on the seventh. But that was done to show us, to give us a reference point. Time means nothing to God. He doesn't care about it. Genesis, the first chapter, the first verse. What's it say? God, in the beginning, God created. Well, he had to be there before the beginning to create it. God has always been. That is something that God has always been and God will always be, I have never understood. I don't think any of us can comprehend it. We begin the first verse of the Bible showing that God was there before the earth was created. And if you turn over to Revelations, 3rd through the 5th verse, John tells us that God Christ will reign forever and ever. Now we can imagine the beginning of the world. We can imagine the end of the world. Forget it. Imagine past the end of the world. Imagine before the beginning of the world. I would like to see a show of hands of people that can put that in perspective of eternity. Look around. Not a hand went up. It is incomprehensible to us because we live by the clock. We have to have that day and night. We have to have the clock to tell us so that we get to work on time. We get to school on time. Kids don't miss the school bus. We don't miss services. Think about how we would live our lives without the clock. Think how God doesn't worry about the clock. There have been different periods of mankind's history. We in the church break it down like this. The patriarchal age lasted from Adam to Moses, and it was approximately 2,500 years. The Jewish age, which lasted from Moses to Christ, was approximately 1,500 years. The Christian age, we don't know how long it's going to last. It's gone 2,000 years so far. But how many days is that to God? Well, if you add up the 2,500 and the 1,500 and the 2,000, that's 6 days to God. It just happened. It doesn't mean a thing. When will Christ come? I have absolutely no idea. And to be truthful, I don't care. It doesn't really matter when Christ is going to come. The Jews have a saying that is more important that when the Messiah comes, it's more important for the Messiah to know you than for you to know the Messiah. Well, I disagree with that in part. It's obvious we have to know who the Messiah is, and we have found him. We know who the Messiah is. He was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, a little more. He was raised partially in Egypt, partially in northern Israel, and he was raised mostly in Galilee. He preached mostly in Galilee, it's been said this morning in class. He performed miracles. He raised people from the dead. We have the witnesses' testimony of those deeds. He was betrayed by one of his own. He was crucified. And as has already been pointed out, on the third day, he arose. And then he ascended into heaven. We can count that time. We can count those events. We know when those things happen. When's the end of time? That's right. It's the end of time. But man hasn't settled for that. Man wants to know. From a guy by the name of Theudas, however, in 44 AD down to 2016, there have been between 200 and 300 predictions of the end of time that attracted a following. There have been more than that. But these are the ones that attracted a following large enough to be commented on and recorded. There's still two more. One in 2034 and September the 14th, 2047. Of the 250 to 300 that have already happened, how many of those were correct? That we don't know. And to say you know when the end of time is to say you don't believe in the Bible. Every person that has predicted a date for the end of time doesn't believe in the Bible. Peter, in 2 Peter, as was read this morning, scoffers will come in the last days. When are the last days? Well, we are told that when Christ comes back, the earth will vanish. The heavens will vanish. They'll be burnt with a fervent fire. The time will be no more. And that will be judgment. there are a large number of so-called Christians who believe in the theory of what is called premillennialism, that Christ will come back, establish a kingdom on earth, Jerusalem will be the world capital, and he will reign for 1,000 years. Those will be the last days. Peter, when he wrote this, that scoffers will come in the last days, wrote that somewhere between 64 and 67 A.D. When did the scoffers first appear? Well, sometime before that, because it was already happening. In Galatians, the first chapter, the 6th and 7th verse, Paul wrote that he marveled that they were so soon removed. Think about that. The apostle establishes the church. They're spreading the gospel. And it seems to be, unless they are right there on the scene at a particular place, somebody's going to mess it up. They're going to leave the teachings of Christ. They're going to leave the teachings of the apostles and put in their own opinions and their own desires. And this is what's happened since the establishment of the church. We could go into a long list of those events, but we have neither the time to do that. Time again. People started leaving the church almost as soon as it was established. They started departing. We're told that there are different things of mankind. There are works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at this for a minute. Who is he writing to? Christians. This was not sent to unbelievers. So these problems had to be with Christians. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Down in Corinthians, we're told thieves and the greedy. In Revelations, we're told cowardly, faithful, murderers, and all liars. James, do not speak evil against one another. Now, I think some of these things we can say we don't have to worry about or we're not inclined to do. There's not a lot of murderers here. And there's not a lot of us that engage in orgies. Idolatry? Yeah? We can have problems with idolatry. There doesn't have to be a statue. It can be a thing that you worship. It can be money. It can be a person. Rivalries. No congregation has ever had a problem with rivalries within the congregation, have they? Dissensions. I know in my lifetime I have seen terrible dissensions within congregations that divide families. Envy. How many of us have never been envious of something or someone? I'm not asking anybody to raise your hands. Greedy. Cowardly. Two ways of being cowardly. Morally and physically. Now, we've all seen physical cowardice, or we've read of it. Morally cowardice is when you won't do the right thing because of outside pressure. You're afraid to take a stand for truth. Faithfulness. How many of us can say we have never in our life had a problem, that we have never had a problem with being faithful? Anybody tell lies? Anybody let a false statement stand, by not speaking up? How many of us have never said something against a brother or sister in Christ? These are works of the flesh. And these are the things that we have to deal with all the time. And we have to be watchful against, because we don't know when time will end. We can think we are safe, but if we are not on guard, if we are not prepared and knowledgeable, we can be in trouble very quick. Again, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of us have always been in these areas? Have never had a problem with not being at peace. Not had a problem with being impatient. Not been unkind in word or deed to someone. How many of us have lost control? When will Christ come back? I don't know. But being faithful to Christ and having these attributes are what we must strive for when He does come, or for when we go. We need to be ready at all times. We are told in Romans the 14th chapter. Let's just turn over there. Turn over to Romans the 14th chapter. And we're going to look at the 11th and the 12th verse. For it is written. It first was written by the prophet Isaiah. It was written again to be included in the New Testament. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Are we going to give an account based upon the fruits of the Spirit? Or are we going to give an account based upon the works of the flesh? Too often we look at these things as they don't apply to us. This is for the world. But it was written directly to Christians. It is to us, not to the world. What does a person need to know to become a Christian? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You don't need to know this, or you don't need to know Genesis through Revelations. That can come later. All you need to know is that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. These things were written to us for our learning. What are we? I can't recall where it's labeled or where it's at, but things that were written before were written for our learning. These were written before for our learning. That's what we need to concentrate on. We need to concentrate positively here, and we need to concentrate negatively toward the fruit or for the works of the Spirit. So we can avoid them. When will be the end of time? I don't know. So far, there have been between 250 and 300 predictions, like I said, that attracted a following. It started in 44 AD and went down. That's through the year 2016, last year. I'm sure there's more already. We know there are two more that have followings. People believe this. How many times, think in your mind, how many times in our lifetimes has there been the predictions of the end of the earth that made the news? Several. Think about it. Those people don't believe the Bible. What does the apostles tell us? Back over in 2 Peter, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 10th verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Are we ready? When does a thief come? When you're least expecting it, when you're not prepared. The 14th verse, and I didn't ask Kevin to read this, and I probably should have. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. Time? We don't know how much time there is. What we do know is it will come when we're least expecting it. It will come in God's time, which means we have no understanding of it. If there are any here this morning that have not been obedient to the gospel, who have not prepared themselves for the coming of the Lord, and who wish to enter into His kingdom, to be a part of His world, and to put off the sin that we have accumulated. And yes, we all have sinned, and we are all sinners. Or if there is anyone here that needs the assistance of this congregation, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.